would like to welcome everybody to our meeting tonight, and thank you to Cochran and the high school staff for hosting us. Also, at our last meeting, I did have a suggestion that I introduce people, since we do have name tags up here, but you can't see them, and a couple people don't have name tags. So my fellow board members, Vice President Dick Smith, Nan Savage, Amy Powers, Brian Lee, I'm Sue Devine. This is Todd Johnson, our district treasurer, and Jonathan Langhouse, our assistant superintendent. So with that, I'd like to call to order the January 16, 2020 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. Thank you. And now if everybody would stand and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on our agenda this evening would be a motion to approve our agenda. Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, we would like to recognize an employee, a classified employee of the month for December. So I'd accept a motion to approve Jeff Lowry as the classified employee of the month for December. Motion by Mrs. Smith?
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Mr. Langhouse?
We're going to take a moment to recognize the classified employee of the month. Our employee this month is Jeff Lowry. Jeff is one of our candidates at the Terry Sportation Center. He's not able to make it here this evening, but we'd like to take a moment and just briefly what his colleagues and peers share about him. Jeff is a great team player. We recently hosted the regional school bus rodeo. Jeff jumped in, and now the bus is ready for competition. He even rewashed some of the buses the night before, staying after work on his own time, to make sure that they were clean and ready for us to use. We appreciate his hard work and dedication to the transportation department. We want to say thank you to Jeff. Let's give Jeff a round of applause.
Could we have a roll call to make this official?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. So, again, congratulations, Jeff. And we look forward to congratulating him in person. I know we're planning to do some visits here soon. So, next up on our agenda, it's always really enjoy doing this. So tonight we have several groups to recognize as state qualifiers. So we're going to start with cross country. A little background. This is the first time in Marysville High School history that the Monarchs were represented in both the boys and the girls Division I state championship cross country races. So I would like to introduce Coach Luke Sundermeyer, who's going to say a few words and then recognize this team. Excellent.
Good evening. I'm Coach Howard, Tristan Carnes, Grant Hogan, and Coach Bob. I want to thank you for being here and sharing this honor with lots of other groups in our school. So Tristan and Grant have some outstanding historic children on country standards. Tristan became the first boy in Division I to make the state cross country represent Marysville High School. And Brynn became the second girl in Division I, and since Marysville High School has been represented in Division I. So for the first time, we have a runner in the boys' race and a runner in the girls' race at the state cross country championships over in Houston. Wow. Tristan also became the second boy in school history to break 16 minutes for 5 kilometers. And that's really, really fast. And Bryn at the state finals. She was the 10th freshman across the line in the Division I race. And we grew up on that, Charles Castle 51. But really what this comes down to is the hard work of each of them and the entire team who put in all year. You know, we started specifically training for cross country at the beginning of June. Hundreds and hundreds of miles later, we get ready for the postseason. And it's a very difficult sport. The heat, the cold, the rain, the mud, we run races for a creek. And their accomplishments are their testaments to their character and their determination. And each of them, in different ways, has been very strong leaders for our team. And the great thing about cross country is, we still have track season. And so, they're not done. Both of them have already opened up their indoor track seasons last weekend of high Western. And we're going to continue on with them a couple more weeks at high state and then up at Akron University. So keep an eye out for these names, Tristan Carnes and Rainbow. We're really proud of them and excited to see the whole program continue on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
you. How about one more round of applause for those two? We've got the 2019 football team, consisted of 71 players, 13 coaches, and 8 training managerial staff that worked extremely hard toward a common goal of improving our football program. This was the first time in 6 years that our football program has qualified for the high school football tournament. I would also like to point out that this team had a little nickname this year called the Road Warriors, and I know I speak for the rest of the board. We're so proud of the way that you worked through this season, not having your home field for a while. And then when you did have that home field, you won your games. And I know that had to just feel wonderful for you, and we couldn't be more proud of you. So with that, I'd like to introduce Coach Brent Johnson, who's going to say a few words, and I recognize the team. And I think some of the rest of his staff is here as well. So,
through the season, their success through the season, and our expectations.
tonight. We're proud to be here.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Like the coach.
Congrats. I know, yeah. Congratulations. Congratulations. Great job. Congratulations. 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 Congratulations.
Congrats. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Congratulations. Congratulations. Congrats. Congratulations. 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 Congrats. Congratulations. 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 High School Marching Band, the best darn band in the high school land, has a strong reputation and has performed at high levels at all competitions this past season. At the state competition in November of 19, the marching band earned the highest rating of superior. And I know they've done this in the past, and I'm really excited that we are recognizing them this year, and I'm sure it's going to be a tradition probably every year, knowing the tradition of our band. So Director Will Bisson is here, and if you come up and say a few words about the band and band members, come on up.
One thing I should know about St. Thomas is that blessed to have been there for 20 years straight now. Alright? Every year, if you get a one, you get two, they look at every caption, music caption, marching caption, your color card, and online. And very rarely have we been able to get straight ones as a finalist in every single caption. Didn't happen last year. Before that, St. Miles, we had this tornado out. When it was canceled for us, we couldn't perform because that tornado that day. They didn't make it up. This year, we went to St. Miles, and every caption, we got ones in music, which is very rated. We got ones in marching, ones in general effect. Throwing them on our color guard, got two ones. But in the first year, a long time, we got straight ones in St. Miles.
Summertime to sneak out there, so let's have one more round of applause for the band. And actually, if there's, feel free if you're not, if you didn't plan to stay for the entire meeting, you are welcome to leave. The rest of the meeting, we'll have a presentation from the high school, and then we'll just be conducting our regular business that the board conducts at our monthly meetings. So take a minute or two if people want to leave, and then we'll move into the rest of our meeting. Like to move up to the front, feel free. Hello. Isn't working anymore.
He's got it turned off.
Oh, okay. He's got it turned off. Okay, we're ready to get going. It's on. It is now. Okay. All right, we're ready to continue with our meeting. And so Mr. Cochran, I think, is going to start his presentation with recognizing his Community Partner Award. For those who don't attend our meetings, every time we have a meeting at a different building, and that building likes to recognize their Community Partner of the Year.
true we have it for students and staff and areas of general. I think you have a conversation with them. You can see it and hear it in his voice and his eyes on how he cares about this community and how he wants to give back to this community. We've a lot of partnerships with him. He does a lot of breakfast and lunches and staff recognition for all the great things that our staff does. We always want to show his recognition of what they do for our community. This year, as we will see in our presentation, he's also helped us with some of our recognition boards of great things that kids are doing in his school building. If you have a chance to walk in front of the building, you saw maybe half of the mind board for recognizing the students monthly.
We couldn't do it without partners like you, so thank you so much.
we naturally came to fit in the Abbott's mind and ultimately the senior commitment that we're going to talk about here in a moment. The portrait of a graduate essentially identified what we want marriageable graduates to obtain. We want to be civically responsible, skilled communicators, effective collaborators, and innovative thinkers. Those are the things that our staff ended up focusing on for what we want our graduates to obtain in their 4 years here at the high school. Connecting to that is, what does that look like in the real world? What does that look like in the classrooms and the hallways? And so we wanted to adopt the habits of mind. The habits of mind are simply dispositions and thoughts of successful people and how they do it, how they meet challenges and how they face challenges and how they overcome them. We want to make sure we have specific conversations about these habits of mind with our students in order to meet those four criteria that the graduate wants to have. The 16 I have up here are a generic list of the habits of mind that if you Google any time, you would probably find a similar list of the 16 habits of mind. As you can imagine, we didn't want our students and our staff to have to be referencing 16 different habits of mind and just saying, hey, let's do all of these and be successful. Not really a recipe for anyone learning them and making that in their lives. So we took our portrait of a graduate and said, what are we asking that our students obtain in the 4 years? And which habits of mind most closely aligned to those? And so starting this summer, we have a staff. Actually, we worked for a day and a half of actually identifying what those habits of mind were, which one we wanted to adopt in order to make sure that we could meet those areas of the portrait of a graduate. And this is a picture of the habits of mind board that I was referencing earlier. And our habits of mind that we came up with were persisting, managing impulsivity, listening with understanding and empathy, thinking flexibly and openly, to continuous learning, questioning, and problem solving. So this is like our mantra. This is what we want to make sure that we are embedding in our hallways, in our culture, in our classrooms, and in the lessons that our teachers are teaching to our kids. And so we went right at this problem of how are we going to embed this in our school year. And really, that's been one of our number one missions for this school year. We tried to have fun with it. We put out marketing across the buildings. We were getting kids to become involved in seeing the habits of mind, knowing the habits of mind, and having conversations about it. Again, we wanted to have a good time with it, make sure that it was seen as something that's very positive. But we also want to make sure that it was more than just that hanging in our picture that you always saw in the classroom. It's more than just a good video. It's about how to really apply it in my life. We had a coffee shop. I think we thought it would be a great idea to put these two habits of mind on the coffee cups. Instead of time anyone student-wise or teacher or adult go to the coffee shop, they did different habits of mind on their coffee cup. Just another way to market that. We've got signage all over the building, making sure the students are seeing that wherever they're going. Most importantly, again, we are embedded into our lessons. This is an example, just a very brief example of a biology lesson. The biology lesson is making sure that students, every time they are addressing issues and looking at different things in the biology curriculum, are identifying which habits of mind are being used. The teacher is going to be talking about, hey, if we face a problem in this classroom, or if we have to retake a test, or if we have to review something that was not up to speed, then how are we going to do that? How are we going to persist? How are we going to manage that impulsivity to make sure that we are actually meeting the challenges up front and being forward with that? And again, we're going to market it as well. The things that we are doing in high school are probably things you're familiar to K-6 and Munsell, but we need to steal those things because we need to get back to recognizing students who are doing great things. We need to get back into making sure that we weren't just saying, well, this is high school now, so we're not going to hand you an award. We're not going to recognize you for doing something that's great. We want to get back to that feeling and make people feel good about being part of this high school, feel good about doing the right thing. And so we have a monthly habits of mind improvements. And I'm going to have Mr. Williams talk briefly about what that process is and how we also involve our staff in the process.
So every
So he's got a neat perspective.
My perspective is a little, I don't need a microphone. I guess I can talk loud enough here.
Okay.
My perspective is a little bit unique. I moved here in 1991, graduated in 1992. I moved here my senior year. And I can tell you the excitement in this building reminds me back when I was a student, and this place was absolutely awesome. I know a lot of you guys have been here in this community for a while, and you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of the things that we are doing here, I feel like we have missed out on for a good number of years. The recognition of our band and our football team, cross country, Coach and I were talking, the pit. I mean, we have so many wonderful things. The new field or stadium. We're doing some of these, some very fun and exciting things within the building as well. And that's what I love about it. So I see it outside on the field or on the band field or inside in the classrooms. Some of the conversations that we're having with kids, the recognition that these kids are getting. And when Mr. Williams said they come from all walks of life, they truly come from all walks of life. We have some AP kids who are getting an award right next to a kid that's in a multiply disabled classroom. We had a kid today who got an award who, he's probably one of the most abused kids I have come across, who is now living in Ohio with an aunt, and he is on cloud nine. Aunt was there to see the award giving. I mean, truly remarkable stories, and it makes me proud to be a Monarch, you know. So some of the things that we're seeing and doing within the building and outside of the building is absolutely remarkable. You know, and I know that there's been a lot of hard work that we have put in to make the effort to make sure that every kid knows that they're important. You know, so that's my perspective on where we have gone this year.
Thank you. So I'm going to tie this back into the whole journey and what our goal is. We want to recognize kids, we want to recognize them doing the right things, we want to embed those habits in mind. Going back to the whole journey of graduate, we want to make sure that the graduates leave with a commitment, and that commitment is the work that we need to do. We want to make sure that we are asking them, what do you want to do in 4 years? So we're having all of our freshmen make a commitment to one of these areas. Now, I know a freshman is 14 years old. They probably don't know what they want to do. That's why we're going to revisit this each year to see if anything's been updated. But we're going to, we have our freshmen pick one of these areas, and then talk a little bit about what is their plan. And then our job is to make sure that we're committing to them, we're going to support them on their learning, make sure that we are providing pathways for them to be successful in these areas. If you want to make sure that that student walks across the stage, and someone says, what are you going to do? It's not, I want to, or I haven't thought about it. It's, here's what I want to do. It might change, but I actually work towards this particular goal. And so, going back to the commitment boards, this is an example of our school learning management system. We have every student fill this area out right here specifically. Going after our commitment boards, we pass out there. You can take a 3-1 right now. The comment from our self provide, and you're going to go 5, 6, 7 total up. Our goal this year, even though the senior might not have gone through the entire process, is we are going to get every senior to show us we did this last year, and frankly, we didn't say it. Last year, we recognized the military, we recognized students who were going on to school afterwards, and we did not recognize all students. And that was a mistake we made. We knew we wanted to make up for that, because there are a lot of kids who are going to be very, very successful that might not go on a traditional path. And so this year, we're making our goal to make sure we're going to figure out where everyone's going. If they're going to a 2-year school, trade school, 4-year school, we're starting to get our hands on the board. improving our expectations on our students. We've done a great job, I think, collaborating on buildings this year. We've got a great leadership in that area. We've done a continual build to make sure that
along the way of increasing that culture as well, with the habits of mind, with
Yes, questions.
Thanks for all that. It was really good. There was a lot of things that was really good to hear. I have a question about the paths after high school, which you talked about, post-secondary workforce or military.
Yes.
So I've met some kids that are, I met one student here who was going into the mission field, for instance. I know some kids who take a gap year,
sure,
which is not necessarily going to be a thing in their parents' case. It could be something, you know, that's really personal development, like hiking the Appalachian Trail or something.
Absolutely.
So my question is, do you come across students who don't fit those three most typical tracks, and do you also support them as they're performing for something like that?
So there is an area where you can essentially write in what your own goal is, if that makes sense. So yes, we felt like we wanted to make sure we didn't list 50 things, because then we wouldn't get super accurate data back if we said, hey, we've got kids with 50 separate interests. So we have an other section. So when we pull that information out, if they did the other, then it would list that separately, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So short answer is yes, because we want to make sure that we know that does exist for a lot of quality reasons, too. Yes. Yes. So we have all of the kids fill out the PLP, personalized learning, each year. And so we usually do it in our Monarch period, which is 3 times a week right now. And we have had every grade level fill that out. When I said the seniors just haven't gone through that, they haven't had the habits of mind for their whole 3 years. They haven't had the specific support on what their goal that they mentioned was. And so that's why I said that they haven't gone through that yet. But everyone fills that out, and we do it yearly. We do it in Monarch period, and it's tied to also there's a Ohio Means Jobs in there as well. If students aren't quite sure what they want to do, there's an Ohio Means Jobs assessment embedded right in there, and so they can get feedback on that as well. Because I understand a lot of 14-year-olds at first will say, well, I don't know what I want to do. So what we do is we ask them to pick something. There's not a wrong answer. And then if it changes, then it changes. But we want to make sure that we're getting something as far as a commitment on there. Thank you.
I really appreciate you having the students set a goal, because without any type of goal, you're not going in any direction.
Sure.
So, and it demonstrates to them that as they're going through high school, it's okay if your goal changes.
Absolutely.
Because that's how real life is.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding your professional development, depth of knowledge, teacher personalized training.
Sure.
So how's that going?
It's going well. So what we did at the mid-year review is we're taking all that information that went back to, like, let's say if in the area of mastery, if they check the box that said, hey, I understand what you're telling me, but I'm very confused on what that looks like. We wanted them to be honest with us, because if we're at this point and they are confused, then that's somebody that we need to meet with individually. Or if it's a couple people in a group, then we need to meet with them individually, make sure that we're having those conversations directly. And so we're not just relying on that solely, because some people are still a little bit
afraid. Is it mostly the admin team doing this one-on-one, or do you have coaches or teacher mentors?
So it's the admin team. Kim Wilson, our instructional coach. Chris Campbell, our blended learning coordinator. And then also Ashley Thompson as well. And then Kathy. Yeah. So we kind of all work together to do that. Usually the one-on-one conversations to this point have been kind of the admin team, but we're starting to integrate them more into that fold as well, especially when we start to get into the identification of where maybe some of our breakout groups happen. we're going to have to rely on them heavily to make sure that during a PD day, we can kind of spread out the manpower, if you will, to make sure that we can address those needs as well.
Okay, so the curriculum build work that you're doing with Bunsold, and I think Tri Academy has been part of it a little bit too,
yes.
And Early College High School.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about that, and do you see much of an impact with the teachers, you know, working together between the buildings?
Yeah, I'll say on January 3rd, we really had our largest revisit of the curriculum build, where we had all the buildings together.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of staff members that said that was a great day, because they don't normally get to talk to people who are outside of their realm. So you're kind of used to your friend and your neighbor in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of know what they're going to say. You might think alike, or you might not think alike. But they
right.
were able to then talk to other people who teach the exact same class, perhaps,
right.
or a similar class, and have those conversations. And then really, as we move towards unified classroom,
mm-hmm.
and as we move towards standards-based grading,
mm-hmm.
It's really helpful for our teachers to see what that looks like at Bunsold, and then what that looks like at Early College High School as well. Because there's a lot of similarities, and there's some differences too, just because of the age level and what teachers have chosen to do that's appropriate. So it was a very powerful day for us. We haven't completed it yet, but we want to revisit that same process where we can basically collaborate with professionals and make sure
right.
we're identifying what those critical learning targets are. I would say that it would be impossible without those types of interactions to really come up with a quality Marysville guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just the high school does theirs, sends it on, and people just check if that's good or not, and then we might come up with what somebody can agree on, but
mm-hmm.
there's really no conversation about, well, what does that mean? What does that look like in your classroom? So it's been, I think, very powerful.
Right.
And probably one of the best things that we've done this year, for sure.
I was really excited to read about it and building notes, and then hear about it here
oh, yeah.
too. So yeah,
yeah, it was
good,
great.
Good work. So.
It was great. It was a very rewarding day.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So last month, I think it was last month, we had some partner participation that was very focused on student well-being in terms of, you know, suicide and
sure.
And so on. And I was wondering about the habits of mind, if any of those, in your opinion, could be helpful towards, you know, building this sort of community where we are able to take care of each other.
Absolutely.
With some of these challenges that can come up for teenagers.
Absolutely. Listening with empathy is one of our habits of mind, and that fits naturally right into supporting students that are struggling. Either with mental health or wellness issues, or basically anything a teenager is going to go through, they're going to struggle in high school at some point. Many of our Habits of Mind award winners, I would say maybe even most of them, in the ones that win the listening with empathy, are because a teacher noticed them treating someone else with empathy, or noticed in the lunchroom that they are sitting with somebody who is not part of their group, but they just invited them over because they could see them sitting by themselves, or somebody that was consoling a friend in the hallway. And I think, really, that's kind of why we felt like we needed to have that as a habit of mind, because there's so many more things than just the curriculum in the classroom. And as you know, not just in these schools across the country, we have kids struggling with mental health and wellness. The stuff that Mark Gallagher is doing for the district is a huge push, but we have to own it in the buildings as well. He's doing some great things that are really kind of meshing with what we're doing to make sure that we're recognizing kids that are struggling. And we've had a lot of kids come forward based on the things that we've been doing, just saying, hey, how can I start a group? Or we have one student that wants to have a room that's monitored, but where kids that are having a rough time or having an episode of some issue can go and decompress for 20 or 30 minutes. And it would be monitored, but no one's in there right in their face at that time asking them. They would go check in with guidance and just say, hey, I have to go here for 20 minutes just to kind of decompress and find a place that's safe, that's maybe not just a normal hallway traffic and a normal school day that might have been some of the stressors that they are facing and some of the anxiety as well. So that's a huge concern, and I think it keeps all of us up at night, as I'm sure it does all of you as well,
mm-hmm.
that how do we help the kids that are really struggling and crying out for help through a variety of actions, and some of them aren't verbalizing that either, so we have to find them as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. I know. It makes me think about some of those meditation rooms that, you know, like we get a variety of emails about things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, some of those buildings are just creating these nice meditation rooms specifically for, you know, things like that, or just to give somebody a chance take a break and regroup.
We all do that sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Yeah, we might find several teachers in there too throughout the day, right?
If you're a teenager, there are times where you just need
timeout,
if you will.
Exactly. Yeah.
Timeout for high school age. Yeah.
Well, thank you for modeling to your staff what you're asking your staff to do to the students. You know, I love the fact that you know, you've been asking them to really be honest about where they are. And, you know, I mean, I think that's what teachers want students to do as well, because everybody's here to help.
Absolutely.
You learn. So,
and it's contagious, because we also share what the teachers are doing with the whole staff.
Mm-hmm.
And the last three or four teachers say, hey, we saw some great things in your classroom.
Right.
Show us what that looks like. So science department has been a leading group in that.
Mm-hmm.
So show us what your choice boards look like when you're talking about cellular division.
Mm-hmm.
What does a choice board look like, and how are you tracking the kids on the board, and how are you doing things differently?
Mm-hmm.
And teachers see that, and they're like, well, I want to try that, you know. And then kids also go to the next class and say, well, in last class I had this,
mm-hmm.
and it was engaging, so what are we doing here too?
Right.
So it's very good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Are people okay if we don't use microphones at this point? Yes? Okay. All right. Let's see. Where are we now? Public participation.
No sign-ups.
No sign-ups for that. Then we'll move in on to our reports. So the High Point report. Ms. Savage. Okay, superintendent's report, assistant superintendent.
First off, before we get into the report, we just wanted to take a moment and just say thank you to our Board of Education members.
Oh.
January is School Board Recognition Month, so we have a certificate for you tonight.
So,
thank you so much.
Brian, here you go, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like Wheel of Fortune.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just a few quick updates. Calamity Day update. We actually had our second Calamity Day of the school year this past Wednesday. No makeup days at this point, so information is available on our district calendar. We also communicate that out as well. So hopefully the weather continues to cooperate. We've been fairly lucky this year so far, fortunate, so continue on. Enrollment, we're still hovering around 5,200 kids. You know, compared to last year, we're actually down several kids. But again, we're still around that 5,200 as a district. Redistricting, the redistricting task force for our K-4 buildings reviewed the community feedback this last week. Now we're just really diving into the scenario specifically, with hopefully the goal of making a recommendation to the board in February. But that's a process we don't want to rush. We want to make sure we do it right. So stay tuned for future updates.
Okay. Quick question. So how much community feedback did you get from the open meetings and from the survey, I guess?
Yeah, a survey we had, we had over 140
okay.
Points of feedback,
mm-hmm.
people that submitted. With the various community meetings, mm-hmm. it varied.
Right.
We had one meeting where nobody came, mm-hmm. but we had another meeting where 8 people came. From different buildings, too. It just wasn't their residential building. So we had some buildings with 4 or 5. So but good conversations, good questions, and we got good feedback. The task force listened. So
good.
So stay tuned again. We're just diving deeper into those scenarios at this point. Stadium updates. I know most people probably think, you know, the stadiums, they're all done. But with construction, there's punch lists.
Mm-hmm.
So out at Bunsell, we just have just a couple items that are just part of the punch list, just to make things, just to correct a couple things here or there, and just to finalize that project here in the near future. We have punch list items that are wrapping up here at the high school campus. You are aware, though, too, that during the striping process of the track, it was discovered that there was a shortage of track surface. Impacting lane 8. So due to that contractor error, they're going to take care of that for us once they have 3 to 5 days of good consistent weather in the spring, more than likely, and get that fixed to us. It's no additional cost to the district or anything. But again, once we get that done, that should hopefully close out the project. And at that point, as punch list items are coming off the list rather quickly this week due to the weather that we've had. So there's been a little bit of action at the stadium this week.
Good.
Just a last update is our alternative kindergarten and our kindergarten registration. Phone lines will open up on March 2nd. So again, phone lines will open up on March 2nd for kindergarten and alternative kindergarten registration.
All right. Thank you.
That's it.
Okay. Treasure report.
Stand up so you can hear me.
Okay.
This will probably be one of the least exciting presentations I've given, and that's saying a lot, so.
Such a great build-up, too.
Set the bar low.
That's right, that's right. We're going to be blown away now.
Give you an update on our property valuation. So as you're probably aware, and I talked briefly about this at the last meeting, I think, the county auditor recently completed the revaluation of our entire district, all of our taxpayers. And this one we knew was going to be a large change just due to property values just over the last several years have really been going up. You can just see in the price of the sales prices and things going around. So we were anticipating a significant change. The number came up even higher than what we had anticipated, which is a good news. So with this information, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Some good news in here, a little bit of bad news sprinkled in as well. I'll just hit each class. So you can see the lines there. I gave you a little bit of history. Unfortunately, I couldn't get this to go in color. We ran out of colored toner, so you've got black and white. So agricultural values went down as expected. That's kind of due to, historically we had a really large increase several years back, and then there was some lobbying to get those values down a little bit. So you'll see those values went down some as expected, a drop in about $3.8 million. Residential values, though, went up by $82.5 million. which is well more than anticipated. I don't have information yet to say how much of that was based on new construction, how much of that was based on the revaluation. Majority of that probably was based on the revaluation, which means that's not as much additional revenue, but an increase of $82 million, that's a mid six figures in additional tax revenue, just due to the inside millage, and as well as some of that being new construction. So that's definitely going to be a bump in revenue when we get our May 5-year forecast out. So class one in total, that's the sum of agricultural and residential, total increase of close to $80 million. That's the largest single increase. You know, we're going back to 2000 here, but I think it's safe to say that's the largest increase in the history of the district. So very, very big increase there for residential. Make sure I hit all my points there. The other thing I wanted to note, especially with this residential valuation increase, the good news of that going forward is when it comes to potential future levies. You can look at it two ways. If you've got a four mil levy on an $80 million increase, you know, pays a lot more taxes, creates a lot more tax revenue than a lower one. Or at the same time, if you've got a set amount of revenue you need, it takes less millage to get there because you've got a higher valuation. So that's good news. The next line over there in the middle is class two. So class two is our commercial values. That's where the bad news comes in a little bit. You'll see we had a decrease in values there. That was not anticipated. So that's going to be a cut. We dropped there by $3.4 million. Now this is where it kind of gets into the details a little bit. I've talked in the past a little bit about how as valuation goes up, millage goes down so that you're not paying additional taxes. Okay, well that also works in reverse to where when valuation goes down, millage will roll up so that we're not receiving less money. But well, the reason this is bad news is because there's two of our levies that as that valuation went down for commercial and it started to roll up, well some of those levies were already so close to the voted millage that there's nowhere to roll up. You know, we can't roll up above the voted millage. And once those levies reach the voted millage and the value goes down, we lose revenue. So we're starting to lose commercial revenue. It's not at an alarming rate at this point. I think we're probably talking at probably a loss of $15,000 to $25,000. So again, it's not like an alarming rate yet. Some of our levies on the commercial side still have room to roll up some, but something we need to keep an eye on because if we continue to lose valuation, then there's more revenue we're going to lose. Also applies to residential, but as you can see from our valuation, it's not really been much of an issue because we've had pretty consistent increases over the last several years. But yes, that would happen if that were to be the case. The other thing to think about there with that commercial valuation is it does create a shift in the tax burden. So you're seeing on the residential side, on the class one side, an increase in value. You're seeing on the commercial side a decrease in value. What that means is our residential taxpayers are now paying a larger share of the revenue to the school, and that's not really something that we want to happen. One example of that would be our bond millage, and as I mentioned maybe a meeting or two ago, that dropped from 7.41 down to 7, so that was a nice decrease in millage for our taxpayers. But with that drop in valuation in class two, again, not an alarming rate, but that's $25,000 less per year that commercial taxpayers are paying, and that's going to be picked up by the residential side. So something we need to keep an eye on. Well, I'm trying to dig into that. We just got this information about a week and a half ago. So I've got a report that kind of shows some of those decreases, but the reason behind it, I don't have that information yet, so I'm still working on that. You know, some of it would be due to depreciation of building, that kind of thing. Some of the numbers I'm seeing are large enough that that doesn't make sense, so I need to get some more information to know that. Another thing you'll see is logically thinking, you wouldn't say expect values to go down, because obviously across the community you're seeing businesses come in. Mm-hmm. But the reason you're not seeing a valuation increase is the majority of new businesses you're seeing are coming in as part of the TIF. So instead of getting the full value of that increase, we're only getting, you know, typically we're getting 25% of that value because of the tax abatement. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the last line, or the second to last line there, that PU, personal public utility, personal property evaluation, that's things like electric lines, gas lines, things like that. We had a nice increase there, a little above what I was anticipating, an increase of $2.8 million. The good news with the public utility personal property is it is taxed, this is by law, it is taxed at the voted rate. So there, it doesn't come down to an effective rate. So we're getting a higher millage on that. So with that $2.8 million, with the increase of the 2.8 compared to what I had in the forecast, which was in the 1-point-something area, that's an additional $90,000 in revenue compared to the November forecast. So that was good news. Overall, $78 million increase. That's a 9.5% increase compared to where we were last year.
Good news. Good news. I know. It is kind of, it is interesting, though, to look at that class, too, because I was looking to see when was it the highest, and it was back in 2009. It was $193 million, and now down to $165. So we'll be interested to hear what you find out on that decrease, though. Thank you. Okay, let's see. For my report, we had talked a little bit at our organizational meeting about our community coffees, and they're going to be starting back up in February. And Nan, have you confirmed at Fifth Street too?
Yes.
Okay, good. So.
And I sent out the dates this afternoon.
Yes.
Okay. So February 15th, March 14th, April 11th.
So would you, I guess we'll just kind of handle it the way we've handled it in the past, and so if somebody is interested in covering them, we'll just confirm it.
Okay.
So, okay. Thank you. I know also Mr. Smith had, he was wondering about, like, the Raymond Broadway area, wondering if, you know, it's kind of nice to have a coffee where it's closer to some people that are in our district, and there's really not a coffee shop in Raymond, but there is one in Broadway, and I don't know if you've had a chance to stop over there yet or not. Okay.
I would like to just stop on Saturday morning to see what's happening.
There's a winery.
Okay. So that might be, it could potentially be an additional opportunity.
Yeah. I would not recommend doing that place
called the Right. In addition to, right. Yes. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. And also one other thing, I know, again, at our organizational meeting, we talked a little bit about potentially having a work session, probably in February, for us to be looking at our goals, kind of our a little bit past mid-year, but to look at those. And we had also talked, we have something in our goals that we'd like to do by the end of the year that I think Mr. Luke is going to help us with. So anyways, is everybody going to be around in February as far as they know right now? Okay. I'll send out some dates. Student achievement. I'm the student achievement liaison, and I think I just forwarded. Kim Miller Smith works at OSBA, and she kind of heads up the whole student achievement platform. And so she had sent some of the areas that she's planning to focus on. But if there's anything that maybe you read an article or something and you're kind of curious, you want a little bit more in-depth conversation about it, go ahead and share that with me. Next Tuesday, January 21st, we're planning to do the second half of our building visits. So the end of August, we split into groups of two, and Ms. Power's work schedule does not allow her to do this, so which really works out pretty well because we can't go in more than two people. But we split up in groups of two, and each of our groups visited half of the buildings, so we're switching so that we each have a chance to see all of the different buildings. So be ready for, you know, wear your comfortable shoes on Tuesday and have fun. Some other opportunities for involvement. Tomorrow morning, Bunsold is going to have a life bio presentation. This was a really neat project where several students worked with some seniors to create their life history. And Life Bio is actually a business that Beth Sanders runs. And so they're going to do their presentation, and I can present the books to the seniors in the auditorium tomorrow from 10:30 to 11:45. Tomorrow, and then this weekend, it's the Swingers Unlimited Showcase competition. So if you're around, I encourage you to go check that out. From the building notes, on January 29th, I saw that Creekview is going to have a wellness night. It looks like it's going to include a lot of good resources and just information for community members to come in and learn some things. Bunsold Science Fair is February 12th. If anybody's interested in being a judge, contact Bob Bentz. And let's see, for continuing education, February 8th, it's the Mastering Board Leadership Skills Training in either Findlay or Columbus. I generally try and go to that. It's just kind of a nice way to hear from other people that serve on boards and refresh yourself in some leadership needs and just what's in hot topics in school board with school boards. So that's it for my report. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
All right. Hopefully you received the legislative report. Next week on the 23rd and 24th, we have two state representatives from our district. On the 23rd, Lisa Sabecki, Democrats and Toledo. We two buildings, finding Tracy Richardson, our representative. Today, with my counterpart from Oviedo, we are moving plans forward for a trip to Washington, D.C., and as we meet the National School Board Advocacy Institute. We have meetings scheduled in Senator Brown's office, in Senator Corbin's office, and in Congressman Jordan's office. So we will be meeting with the police and staff from the Senate. Had a meeting with Representative Richardson a little over a week ago. We spent the bulk of our time talking about the state. She and Lisa Sabetin are two of the three House members on the study committee that's looking at the state report card. And we talked about some of the components of it. I didn't get into the details of this budget or that budget, but encouraged elimination of letter grades. Because in many cases they have averages, and can sometimes give misleading information. I pointed out that the State Department of Education website, and all of the school grade cards and letter grades, the one overall for the entire state doesn't have any. It has raw data, it's got statistics for 3 years, arrows that indicate the things are going up and going down, charts and graphs and things about trends. And try to show that provides more relevant information than the she understood that message. We also talked about the fact that public schools get a great part of private local schools do not. And that every school ought to be held to the same standard depending on the performance in the state of Ohio. Along with that, we talked about the choice of the some discussion on that coming up. But much of what is involved with their choices were directly tied to the state report card. And I urge her to make quick action on the state report card because that impacts what happens to their choice. The last thing is notified about Senate Bill 212. Provided you some information and that, but I don't know whether this bill is going to get a hearing, it's just introduced, but it would provide up to a 10-year tax exemption for individual residential properties or improvements on those homes, which would have a huge very direct impact on schools all across the state of Ohio. In our district, would be significantly damaged by that. They're not going
anywhere. That it? Okay, thank you very much. Safety and Drug Committee.
Safety and Drug Committee, there's nothing that they've got up and running. However, they did get the grant.
Oh, good.
So they were initially denied, the coalition was, but I was talking to Jonathan, and they just had a 3 or 4 hour
strategic
plan now that the coalition has got the grant back, so now we'll be moving forward putting everything together. So.
Good. All right. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve our draft minutes from our December 19th regular meeting and our January 13th organizational meeting.
So good.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any questions, comments, revisions? Nope. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Liu?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I think we'll vote on these separately. We've got two resolutions. The first resolution is to recommend to approve Public Education Week, January 26th to February 2nd. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments?
One of our responsibilities as board members is to be advocates for public education. 90% of young men and women in our state attend public school. The state constitution directs the state legislature to provide a thorough and efficient system of common schools in the state. And I am very proud that this board has taken a strong advocacy in support of public education and in support of millions of kids in our state with good quality education.
Well said. I do believe they have a gathering in front of the State House on January 30th, I believe. Yes, so if you want to go and cheer for public education, you can be there, right? Okay. Any other comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the resolution opposing the State of Ohio Ed Choice Scholarship Voucher Programs.
So
moved. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers. Comments on this?
There are individuals in the State of Ohio legislature that seem intent on spreading about the system listening to out of the system state of Ohio is aimed at providing funds to low-income families who live in school districts that were not supportive. And there's a voucher program in Cleveland, targeted to Cleveland, they then created a choice of spots in some schools. And in the state budget, House Bill 966, there was a provision that was added kind of with the 11th hour that changed one word.
Mm-hmm.
And before this change, a school district for students that attended a school to be eligible for Ed-Choice vouchers, your school district had to be deficient in two measurable areas. The change was from the word and to or. So now the school districts only have to be deficient in one area or the other, rather than one and the other. And what that did was it expanded dramatically the number of schools where students could qualify to be able to ask for Ed Choice vouchers. That goes into effect in February. The impact across the state of Ohio is dramatic. You can have, it's possible that you could have best school systems in the state, test results and so forth. It's possible that there might be a school district here for whatever reason that missed the standard. And the students that attend that building then would be eligible for a scholarship for $6,000 being in the school. I believe our school district does not have any Ed Choice building. Fairbanks does, Regan does, I forget off the top of my head the number of schools.
Only Tangie does, doesn't it? No. So you, I think you all have in front of you, in addition to having this resolution, if you're all okay with it, I do have a letter that could go to the editor that just help our community be aware of this situation, because I think most people probably have no idea of the incredible impact of this change that could have on how our taxes are used, the taxes that people feel like they are giving for public education and they're ending up covering private education. So if you have any, what's that? Yes, I do. So if you're okay with it, then I would send this letter to the editor, and I know it's too late for this week for the JT, I think, so that deadline is today. But I'll get it in for next week, and I'll send it to the Daily Digital, and just try and help people be a little bit more aware of the situation.
Look, I should have the microphone.
Oh.
Before we vote on this, mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention that I'm not for vouchers or against vouchers. I'm certainly not against private education.
Right.
I am for public education. Mm-hmm. And what it says in our resolution is, we're opposed to expanding vouchers to the detriment mm-hmm. of public education. That's what we're concerned about, and that's mm-hmm. what we need to be watching and what people may not be aware of.
Right.
And that's the point of the resolution, to increase awareness. Mm-hmm. There can be a tipping point where the voucher program goes so far that we're actually undermining our commitment to educate every single child in the state.
Mm-hmm. All right. Roll call.
Mr. Smith? Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the treasure items. Motion by Ms. Powers. Second by Mr. Smith.
Just a couple things. One, our cash flow is running pretty well along with projections. The one thing that might jump out this month is our on the expenditure side is the benefits line, which is showing significantly under budget. Part of that is timing. We had a workers' compensation bill that was projected to hit in December. Didn't hit until January, so that's okay. A big part of it. But another part, which was good news, was we had a dental insurance premium holiday. Mm-hmm. So that saved the district $62,000 that was not in the projection, so that was good news. One other thing to note, not actually in the treasurer's items, it's actually in the superintendent items, but my assistant treasurer, Laura Mickens, she's going to be leaving the district at the end of the month, so just wanted to recognize her. She's been with the district a little over 5 years, served the district very well, been just very invaluable to my office, and a lot of staff members will be sad to see her go.
Yep. Well, I second that. She's done an amazing job here, so we really will miss her, but yeah. We're excited about her new opportunity. Any questions of the treasurer's report? Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers?
Just some HR items with a couple of resignations. Todd spoke of one with Ms. Mickens.
Uh-huh.
We do have a couple leave of absences. We have a long list of supplementals with some musical at the Bunsell Middle School, but a lot of resident educator mentors, their supplemental pay. Also volunteer pay club coach, as well as substitutes and some home instructors needing approval. We do have a shorter list of volunteers this month as well. And then also, too, we have a guidance intern over at Northwood. Mm-hmm. We also have our collaboration with OSU with speech-language pathologists. Mm-hmm. So we have a long list of interns and field experience and student teachers as well in the district. And then also, too, an intern with the high school basketball program.
Okay.
So, relatively light.
Okay. Any comments or questions?
Yeah, I would just say it's nice. I've always enjoyed having interns when students come in and sit in the room. They bring some comments and perspectives that are in a position to share. And really appreciate all of the work that goes in to try to coordinate and facilitate these opportunities for the interns.
Agreed. All right. No other comments? And roll call?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we're to the comments and questions from board members. Mr. Smith?
I want to thank the high school for hosting us this evening. And I was asking to make the hall was empty now, but it was nice to see it filled with so many exceptional men, men and women. It's always a pleasure to recognize the successes that we have in the district, and the presentation that the high school gave today shows that the successes that are being enjoyed in our schools are not just on the athletic fields or in the band competitions or running through the mud, but being taken place in classrooms all through the buildings and all the buildings.
So I just want to thank the school for hosting us this evening. I really appreciate their effort to recognize and make connections with each and every
good opportunity to see some very collaborative work in regards to what Ohio is doing statewide in social emotional learning.
Mm-hmm. I ditto everything for thanking them for the high school, and I really like the presentation, and I really feel that what they're doing now, they really push forward at the high school to make some big strides, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just want to mention I'm looking forward to Tuesday when we visit the buildings and get into some of the winter sports.
Oh, good.
Anything to add?
Nothing? Okay. Yep, I also thank the high school and wanted to, I can't remember if somebody made a comment about our pit was recognized.
Yes.
They won the Canes Chicken Award, and so they were presented with a $5,000 check. And I know we've talked about it in another meeting, but at the Capitol Conference, Dick had gone to a session with the guy who heads up OHSAA, or however that is, Ohio High School. So anyways, he had come to one of our football games, and he was blown away with our pit. He said when he walked in, they were chanting his name. I didn't even know they knew I was coming, but they made him feel so welcome. And just other comments that I've heard about how the kids were having so much fun, but they were being respectful and, you know, not doing any cheers that were not appropriate, but supporting their team. And clearly the school and our community supported them as well. And so I'm just so proud of them.
Yeah.
To have earned that $5,000. So, and again, just that reminder of, so the showcase is this weekend, and then the Marysville High School Hall of Fame induction, to which we are all invited, will be on February 7th. That's a Friday night, I believe. It starts at 5:30. The reception is here in the Commons. And then, copied these notes from last year. I had a comment in here about custodians and bus drivers with weather and everything, and we really have been pretty lucky this year as far as snow. Fog's been a little bit crazy, but as always, we do really appreciate our custodians and our bus drivers when the weather gets a little inclement. So, and also wanted to say that we did our mid-year review of our treasure at our organizational meeting, and just want to say how grateful we are for Todd's leadership and professionalism. He's definitely been a positive for our district and our community, and so we appreciate that.
Thank you.
And with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn. Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries.